Ryan Burrow's our news director. The other day he came into the studio and he had a, what was it, a basketball card in his hand.
Yeah, Mark Jackson, 1990. Not a Hall of Famer by any means. Solid player. Right?
I know. Did he play for the Knicks?
Yep, played for the Knicks.
So I'm dribbling the basketball. One of those, you know, basketball shots of an NBA player, as you might see on a basketball card. Basketball cards. You think baseball cards, but they're there for all the sports,
sure.
Right?
Football, hockey.
This is your hobby? You collect cards like this?
I didn't, but I got back into it again. I did, you know, in the 80s and 90s and maybe slightly into the 2000s. And then, you know, I grew up and life moved on. And now during COVID, everyone's going back and flipping through all their cards again in the attic. It's kind of fun.
So you pulled out. So did you know that Mark Jackson card was in your collection all along?
I did not. I had a buddy who reached out to me and he sent me a picture of it. And he said, do you know why this Mark Jackson card is selling for $30 on eBay? I have no idea.
Mark Jackson. Who wants a Mark Jackson card?
Right, exactly. Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen. Those are the ones you want. Patrick yeah. Ewing, not Mark Jackson. Interesting on that card, huh?
So you see Mark Jackson dribbling the ball, and you see sitting in the front row seats, as you might, you know, the well-heeled people. You'll see the coach, other players, but then you'll see the people in the front row seats sitting right there courtside. And two of the people sitting courtside are
the Menendez brothers.
And so Ryan is coming up to people going, can you tell why this card is worth $35? And I'm like, was it something with his shoe? Is there somebody famous in the stands? I didn't recognize any celebrities. Who would recognize that the two Menendez brothers, young men, not children, mind you, they looked like they were ready for jail, were sitting right there courtside?
Yeah.
So. Wow, what a weird thing. So not because of anything intentional, the card has this secondary value.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we always associate values of cards with, you know, how good the player was or, you know, some kind of significant event that took place. But, you know, now that everyone's kind of looking at their cards again and they're finding some fun things, gum stained cards, I think I pointed out. All of a sudden, people want gum stained cards. Remember how packs of cards used to come with gum lodged in there?
You want
and
the
sometimes
gums.
It would stain the cards.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And you want that as a premium?
Some people do. Some people are starting to collect that kind of stuff.
Michael Osaki's on a phone line. Okay, this is Michael's business too. He is the owner of Baseball in the Attic. He does appraisals of professional sports cards. He's an authenticator. Hey, Michael, you're on WGN. How are you?
John, good morning.
Welcome back to WGN. Have you seen an uptick in the trading card business?
Absolutely. And I think an uptick is a severe understatement. It's never been busier, crazier, more fun, world record prices every day. It is something special.
Give me an example.
Okay. Last week, a Mickey Mantle Topps rookie card in a graded PSA 9. So cards are graded on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being horrible, 10 being perfect. That card sold for $5.2 million when just 2.5 years ago, that card was $2.7 million.
Well, none of those numbers make sense to me. What is exceptional about a Mickey Mantle card?
Well, from that set, he had a couple things working for him. One, it's his rookie card. Two, it's from the 1952 Topps baseball card set, which is one of the most widely collected sets in the entire world. And three, his card, number 311, was issued in the high numbers series in that set, which basically means that card came out later in the season. And because of that, it was butting up against the start of the football season. And a lot of people did not buy those cards at the five and dime. And long story short, most of those cards were loaded up on a barge and dumped into the Atlantic Ocean because Topps could not sell them, but they had to get rid of them.
Also, number four, the Menendez brothers were in that picture as well. Is that right? There's Mickey Mantle swinging the bat in box seats, the Menendez brothers? No?
I sent you that picture, John, of what it looks like at Target over this weekend. I walked by where the baseball cards are sold. Can you believe that? Everything wiped out, cleared
Michael,
out.
I'm looking at a picture of the baseball card, the sports card section at the Target, and all you see is the metal prongs where the cards would have been, but it's just an empty wall. No cards are available. Are you seeing that as well?
Absolutely. I actually had a friend of mine from college call me on Saturday morning. He was driving around to Target with his son, and he said, Michael, what is going on here? I'm trying to buy a pack of cards for my son. They're all wiped out. And I told him math. I said, yeah, this is the situation across the country. People are actually getting to Target at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, waiting for the baseball card vendor to show up, and then literally trying to bribe them for the baseball cards in his trunk.
Some of them work here at WGN Radio. Well, let's...
Not true.
I need to take a pause, but maybe when we come back, maybe you could give us some specific cards that people might have. Is a Ryan Sandberg rookie card therefore more valuable? Is a Ron Santo and Ernie Banks more valuable right now? A Kerry Wood card? I'm just thinking of some of the marquee names on the north side. We could do it for the south side as well. Is there a great value in a Frank Thomas? Or how about some of the guys playing for the White Sox now? Should we be scarfing up all of those rookie cards? Because who knows how good the White Sox are going to be going forward. Give us some advice on what to go through our attics for. My son had cards from the early 90s through for several years, and I don't know what happened to those. All right, we'll pick it up here in a minute. You got a question? 312-981-7200. Ryan Burrow is the WGN Radio News Director in our studio. I did not know your hobby is collecting sports cards.
I didn't realize it either until a few weeks ago. So
Michael Osaki is on a phone line. He's a professional sports card appraiser. He is the owner of Baseball in the Attic. So is your shop, where in the city are you, Michael? Or Ryan? Michael? Hold on a second. LF Michael is on line 7, right? You going to hit it or am I? You will hit it. Michael, what? Where's your store located?
I'm based on the north side, but during the course of the year, I travel over 100 days out of the year. So I'm usually on the road outside of Chicago, believe it or not.
Where should I? Like, my son was born in 1992, I think. And he had a complete set given to him as a gift of the 1992 baseball cards, Tops. So is there a rookie card or two in there that's worth some money?
So what happened was in the late 80s and early 90s, like 1992, 93, the cards were mass-produced. So complete sets, which could have 600 or 700 cards, are only worth about $10 for the entire set. So that actually kind of hurt the hobby in the late 80s, early 90s because of that mass production.
Well, that's no good. How about 93? Probably the same thing then, huh? 94, 95? Aren't there some rookie cards in there? I mean, think of all the great players that played in the 90s.
But remember, they all were doing steroids. So I wonder if that hurts as well.
What about that? Does it hurt or help the value? Or is it indifferent, Michael, the steroid era?
So the steroids hurts it. So Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, that, and then with the, again, the mass production, really made those cards not valuable at all.
Well, this is the worst information I've been able to hear in a very long time.
What I'm starting to see during COVID, though, at least among some of my friends and some of the people I've seen online, is starting to put away the thought of, okay, how valuable is this card? And instead, how valuable is this card to me? Maybe as a fan, I was a big fan of Sammy Sosa. And, you know, everything aside, I collected a lot of Sammy Sosa cards and I like to flip through them. And what I'm seeing now on Twitter, on Facebook, is saying, hey, has anyone got that Sammy Sosa card from when he played on the White Sox or when he played on the Rangers? I'm really looking for that. Or like I said, with the gum stained cards, just trying to, you know, rekindle some of those warm and fuzzies you had as a kid growing up and some of the things that excited you. Maybe putting together a player pack of players who weren't Hall of Famers, yeah, but you know, they were of value to you.
We had a whole book of Chuck Knoblauchs. It was my son's favorite player. He had 50 Chuck Knoblauchs. What about his point? If it's valuable to you, it's valuable, Michael.
Absolutely. And to Ryan's point, I have seen a lot of Facebook groups pop up where people are asking for specific cards. And I always tell people, buy what you like, buy what you know, because if, God forbid, the prices decrease, at least you still have what you like, right?
Is what sport is the best sport to be collecting?
Okay, well, last year in 2020, basketball cards were going up like crazy. A lot of it is due to foreign investment. Europeans and the Chinese were heavily buying basketball cards. I think this year in 2021, we're going to start to see a little bit of a switch to baseball, both vintage and modern. But additionally, so far, all we've talked about is cards. There is also autographs. There's bobbleheads. There's all different types of things in this sports collectibles world.
312-981-7200. We'll pick up a couple of phone lines here. Fred, you're on the air. What can we do for you, Fred?
Hi, I was just wondering, what's the process? Where do I go if I have, like, complete sets of 55, 56, 57, 58, 59 tops? that have been passed down through the family or 55, 56, 57 NFL complete sets. Where do I go?
Okay, so those should definitely be appraised. So after the show, what you can do is find me online, michael@baseballinatheattic.com, and email me. I'm happy to help you.
Ballpark me, though. What are we talking about here, Michael?
Well, each set, and he has a lot of them, is going to be worth, you know, a few thousand dollars. So he obviously has tens of thousands of dollars worth of cards.
You're probably not surprised to hear that, right, Fred?
Correct. No, I've done some looking and inquiries.
So then I guess the point is it so valuable to you as a family heirloom that you'd keep it, or it's just gold bars sitting there and you ought to sell when the price is high? Where are you on that, Fred?
Kind of in between. You know, certainly it's not doing any good if my kids or grandchildren are one day going to have these, 20 years from now, and they're going to be worth 10 times as much. Maybe it's better for them to keep them.
Well, what do you think about that, Michael? Is it really a good time to sell because you're never going to see, relative to the value of a dollar or other commodities, you're never going to see baseball cards or basketball cards, NFL cards in his case, as valuable as they are right now?
Okay, John. So what we don't know, obviously, in the future, what's going to happen with values. However, I am advocating people now to sell because last year we saw the NASDAQ go up 44%, but we saw the sports card market go up 2X, 3X, 4X, 5X. All in a nine-month period from March to December. So when it went up so quickly that I think now would be a good time for people to sell cards.
500% is not a bad return, depending on what you paid for it. All right, there's your answer. I'll give the address here in just a second, okay, Michael or Fred?
Yes, that would be good. I need that email one more time or that website.
Yeah, stay tuned. Get the number two pencil and a clean piece of paper. Have you had your stuff appraised at all?
No, I have not. I just like flipping through it right now.
What's the most valuable card you think you have?
Oh, gosh. I actually am an autograph collector. I've got a lot of autographs, so those are the things that I probably should get. My mom ran into Walter Payton at a bakery in Hoffman Estates when I was a kid, and he took her back to his car and signed footballs and
totally
golf
would.
Balls. I got to tell Jared that story someday.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, everybody knows Walter is just a class act and a generous guy.
Yeah.
He knew having a moment with him was a big deal to somebody. Ron Santa was the same way. Ron knew it was a big moment in your life, even though it was an ordinary day in his. He was always so generous with his fans to the very end. Michael, let's pick up another phone line or two. We'll talk to David. You're on WGN. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Hey, King John.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Michael, I have a question. Back in the day when I was a little kid growing up in upstate Northern California, I was given a bunch of hockey cards, which wasn't a big fan of, so I kind of just opened up the package and threw them in the shoebox and left them there for many, many years. A while ago, though, I was looking through them, and the names were actually blacked out, not by someone taking a black Sharpie, but they were produced that way. And there was one guy that stood out to me, had a nine on his shoulder. It was an Edmonton Oilers. I flipped to the back. There was just still no name, but it appears to be Wayne Gretzky rookie card. Is that anything that I should be holding on or maybe get rid of?
Okay, so that card has gone up in value a lot. Now, in 79, there were two different issues, 79 Tops and 79 Opeachy, which was made in Canada, but the cards look exactly the same.
Okay.
The value will be dependent about the condition. So what you will need to do is email me a picture of the front and the back, and I'll tell you what the value would be.
Are we talking $5, $23, 40 cents? What are we looking at here?
Well, a couple months ago, one of them sold at auction, the Opeachy, which is the rare version. Only two of them in the world sold for $1 million.
Well, I don't have – I almost guarantee it's not the Opeachy. I'm sure it's a Tops. So I don't have it in front of me, but I'm just kind of looking at it in my mind's eye right now. I don't think it's that at all, but I will try to get that information from you, King John, if I can, about your email.
Sure.
It would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, I'm going to put you on hold. And well, let's make sure we get that information clear. Michael, if people want to get their cards appraised or ask you about them, where do they go? What do they do?
So they can go to my website, baseballintheattic.com.
Wait. That website is baseball what?
Baseballintheattic.com. Attic, A-T-T-I-C.
Baseball, singular, baseballinTheAttic.com.
Correct.
Okay, let's leave it at that for now. Let's pick up another phone line. Let's go to Dorothy. What do you have in your attic? You're on WGN.
That's a good one.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What have you got?
I have a football from the University of Michigan that my husband's cousin played, and Gerald Ford was on the team, and it's supposed to be a 1932 championship football. And he gave it to my husband years ago, who has passed, and I've had it under glass. The signatures are visible. They're not, you know, brand new signatures, but I've been trying to find a source that might be interested in it. I don't know what the value of it is.
So you can see Gerald Ford's name on the football?
Yes, you can. You
okay.
can see
Michael, what do you know about that?
The whole team has signed it.
Yeah.
Okay. Generally speaking, when a team signed football should have at least 40 to 45 signatures on it, right? Because a football team is much larger than a basketball or baseball team. Now, that Michigan team that you're describing, yeah, it was phenomenal. And with Gerald Ford, it's been a long time, actually, since I've seen 32 Michigan signed football. And it's so, I mean, it's definitely going to be, you know, thousands of dollars. How many is dependent upon who is on there and also the strength of the signature.
Right, right, right. Okay, we're going to leave it at that for now. Baseballintheattic.com. Michael, I can see by the number of calls we're getting and the great big smile on Ryan Burrow's face that we're going to have to do this segment again in a week or so. So please come back. And in the meantime, we'll send people to baseballintheattic.com. They can reach you there, correct?
Absolutely. Thanks, John. I appreciate it. And thank you, Ryan, for the interest.
Yeah, thank you both.